Now the question is, do I read the scriptures or does one of you do it today? My name's Henry, not you do. From the Hebrew scriptures, I'm reading to you from Proverbs chapter 2. It's entitled, Moral Benefits of Wisdom. My son, my daughter, if you accept my words and store up my commandments within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Take that with you into your coming week and through the summer. Then if we go to the Gospels and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. It's a very, very familiar story that probably we've heard since we were children. I remember my sister telling us the story of when Elroy was just 3 years old, and they were sitting at the table eating lunch after having come from the worship service, and she said, "So what did you learn about in Sunday school?" And he said, "Jesus was walking with the people and he saw a guy in the tree and he says, 'You get down here right now.'" That's what he remembered. But it's a story that's very, very old, and we've heard it in various ways, but it's extremely powerful. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed Jesus gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord — this would be later, somewhat later in the day — but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Some months ago, I was invited to come here for three different occasions in May and June and today. And I remember that as a retired minister, I don't necessarily follow the lectionary, and I used to give myself quite a bit of freedom as well, too. But I chose to delve a little bit more deeply theologically on something that had sprung out at me from a daily meditation that some of us here read by Richard Rohr. And I thought, gee, that I would like to develop that into a sermon. In some similar way, the second one, but today I've chosen to share with you a very familiar scene, and that's kind of dangerous because we all know it so well. But it's a very simple story with a very profound consequence or dimension. This biblical account is another story of Jesus encountering of a person. Yes, Jesus spoke to the multitudes. Apparently, one time they think there may have been as many as 5,000. But it seems to me that the ones that stick out for us are where Jesus had an encounter with a person. And it's good for us because it's much easier for us as individuals to put ourselves in that position instead of just the multitudes. The significance of the interaction of this story is given to us. Even though, and thank God, we are left to put the pieces together if we are to learn from this encounter. And those have been some of the best experiences for us, haven't it? Not that you can just sit comfortably in your chair and listen, but that it makes you start asking questions. Yes, but what if it were this way? What if that? Or if I were in that situation, what would I do? The story begins with a fairly common event in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is passing through Jericho, and because the multitudes have been hearing about this Jesus guy, things that he was saying, and in the way that he was saying, and he was actually also healing some people, and these multitudes were spreading the word about what he had been saying and doing. And so the people they had taken this in, they'd heard about it, but they had this keen desire to experience it themselves, to see Jesus, to hear him, and to experience him firsthand. And so the story introduction is that they were pouring out to see him. And within that crowd is a little man, short of stature. He couldn't see through the throngs of people. And even when he was in amongst the people, he was jostled around. You know that sometimes when we get in crowded situations, we very gently thread our way through there. But eventually, if we get peeved or if somebody is not as likable as somebody else, we might just push harder with our shoulders. I don't know whether he was being jostled because of who people saw him to be. I don't know. And so I'm going to sort of move back and forth here because I'm going to be talking about Zacchaeus, but equally so I'm going to be talking about Jesus because there's this encounter between the two of them. Now Zacchaeus is a tax collector. Now if you didn't know the story from years back as a child, wouldn't you have reacted almost immediately when I told you that Zacchaeus was a tax collector? Please get that grin off your face. Even today, we see anybody that's in a position of collecting taxes, federal minister of finance, the provincial minister of finance, the committee chairs around that do the finance, we're a little bit leery because we're going to have to reach into our purses in order to pay for what we want to see done. And so Zacchaeus was not in a very popular occupation or calling. People had their own idea as to who he was and how he had functioned. He had sold out his loyalty. He sold his loyalty to Israel because of his thing. He was seen as a money grabber for the Roman overlords. And so when the scriptures say to us he was a little man, he was a little man of stature, but he was also a man of low self-esteem. The way he saw himself was quite meager. He probably presented himself in a strong way when he was collecting his taxes, but when he would go to the privacy of his own home, he may have wondered, who really am I? I'm not feeling very big these days. He was aware, he will have been aware, of the people's dislike and distrust of him. And moving from the beginning of that story to the summary, we are left to read between the lines. And those are some of the better stories, as I've just said. Whether or not he was a tax collector, whether or not he had been dishonest, we have to also realize that the Holy Scripture in this passage says, also presents another picture, and we dare not lose it. And that is that he was curious. Curious people are the ones who are looking for something. They are asking questions. They're saying, what if, or maybe? He was searching. He was longing for something. And at first, we may not know what it was. Let's move over to Jesus. Jesus is with these throngs of people, and they're sort of crowding him and asking questions probably and listening to what he chooses to teach that day. But he comes to this place where this little guy, this little man, was perched up in the sycamore tree so that he gets a better vantage point. He can see what's going on. And Jesus notices him and says, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I need to be at your house tonight, today. Jesus doesn't invite himself to the home of the rabbi, who was probably the top position in the religious realm. He didn't invite himself to the home of a priest or other supposedly respectable person. What Jesus did would have been considered outlandish. He was not swayed by conventional opinion. He was not prone to stereotype an individual. He probably was aware that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He's probably aware that people will have disliked him simply because of that. But Jesus saw deeper than that. He looked through the name and the appearance to the reality that was deep inside. And at that particular moment when he said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. I need to go to your house today. It was he looked right through all of that. And at that very moment, he considered the person of Zacchaeus more important. It would have seemed to Zacchaeus, at least, that he was the more important of anyone else in the world, because he was being invited to be hosting this guest. Jesus somehow sensed that Zacchaeus was looking for something. He sensed within Zacchaeus the readiness, or possible readiness, to respond to the quickening love of God in his life. Now we return to Zacchaeus again. He takes Jesus to his home. They probably had a meal and a time to rest, and Jesus had time to wash his feet, to get the dust off out of his sandals, etc. But at the end of that time, and whatever they talked about, whatever happened, as a result of being the host for Jesus in his home and having had that conversation, Zacchaeus begins to initiate relationships. And he says to Jesus, "If I have ever taken from somebody that didn't belong, I will pay it back. And if I have unlawfully cheated someone," which he probably knew deep inside he had, he said, "I will pay back four times what I took." And there's a very, very significant story in there, because fourfold means a complete turnover. And besides that, the spiritual enlightenment that he experienced as a result of that conversation with Jesus was for him, he found himself to be was necessary to express in that in his relationship with other people. It's like sitting in a pew or in a chair, a row of chairs, and hearing something and saying, "Wow, that was a significant idea that entered my mind and my heart today." And to quickly go home and close the door, even lock the door outside, and go into your room and lock the door and say, "Gee, I really learned something." But no, what Zacchaeus did, he began to initiate relationships with other people. This was going to be a difference in his life. Now we return again to Jesus. While I just said that as a result of the encounter, Zacchaeus initiates new relationships in his life. He was going to see all these people as individuals, as members of God's family, instead of seeing them as, "How much money can I get out of them today?" But Jesus, on his part, as a result of that time spent with Zacchaeus, he initiates celebration. It reminds me of the story of the father and his two sons. It's often called the story of the prodigal son, but both sons were prodigal. And one had squandered all the money, part of the inheritance, but the other one stayed at home and dutifully served his father, but with a great big chip on his shoulder. But the son who had squandered everything and was realizing the pigs were eating better than he was, he thought, "I'm going to go back to my father and I'm just going to be one of the servants." But when the father sees him coming, he runs to meet him and he initiates a celebration. So Zacchaeus initiates relationships, Jesus initiates celebration. And the writer of Luke says it in such a beautiful way, that coming from the word, from the mouth of Jesus, were the words, "Today salvation has come to this house." This is a powerful way of speaking, is it not? But I think the question for today is, who are the Zacchaeuses of our day? Do we have any Zacchaeuses in Okotoks or southern Alberta or in Canada? We have our people who we think are sort of like Zacchaeus. They take our money, and of course they always take too much. But who are the little people in our society? The people who would like to find themselves and to be recognized by other people as significant so that they can stand taller. Who are they? I noticed the ministry here of the food bank, very significant. But if you put yourself on the other side, some of those people that find themselves in that situation have to receive, they feel like little people. But we can initiate some new relationships with them. We have people in our society who are of a different gender than we are, and their sexuality is different than ours. And they must at times feel like little people, as though they are being pushed aside. And why should we wait for the government to legislate how we should accept people like that? It should come, could rather be coming right from deep within our own being. I remember when I was a pastor in Saskatoon, and one of our couples with three children, he announced to us that he was felt the need to leave his marriage, because he realized that he was gay and that as much as he cared for his family, he wanted to make a new start. It was disconcerting for me, I have to admit. I was still wrestling with that topic. But I went one evening to visit my mother, who was in a senior's place, at her own facilities there for making meals. And she knew this family because the woman was from our home community in Saskatchewan. And she mentioned it in passing, and I said, "So how are you with that?" And I thought, well, she would be stuck somewhere back there. But no, she says, it's a situation where he prefers men rather than women. It was her way trying to explain this. And again, I had this experience of widening my own horizon as I heard the wisdom from one or the other of my parents. Do we create Zacchaeuses, or do we care for them? Do we help them to see, to respond to their curiousness and their searching? Many years ago, I read a book by Anna Mao. She tells a story of this lady, a Christian woman, who, when she was washing the breakfast dishes and she could look out onto the street, and she'd seen this man going by. And he did not have a particularly good reputation in that town. And she would think to herself, there goes that scoundrel. There goes that man who has committed such and such evil. And then over time, she had been reading a lot of books and doing a lot of praying, and all of a sudden she found a change within herself. All of a sudden she realized that as she washed the same dishes at the same window, looking out the same window, and she'd see that same man walking by, she would say, there goes a man who God loves. And it changed her whole attitude to that. She may have had her concerns, but she was willing to see them in light that they were. Zacchaeus came clean. When he was enlightened, he began restoring relationships. He came to grips with the God-person relationship, and also the person-to-person relationship. And somehow he was moved. He must have heard Jesus say, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I mean, what I meant to say is, that he heard Jesus say, "Today salvation has come to this house." And the writer Luke finishes that story with the words, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And we are also part of that wonderful calling that we can invite people to consider that following in their lives. We come to a time when you can have an opportunity. You maybe have practiced this all the time and throughout this whole worship service. But perhaps you wanted to reflect upon